Blog Talk Radio.
In to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Happy Sunday, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, as always, with my co-host, Sherry Pang. Sherry, was I hallucinating, or did that intro, like, play twice? That was weird. There's ghosts.
It stopped. It kind of, like, it blanked out, and then it continued again.
Oh, very strange.
It was like a pause. Hopefully. It was maybe about a 10-second pause.
Technology, isn't it fantastic? So how have you been?
Really good. Very, very good. Been busy and, oh, my gosh, you know, did you see the full moon? The energies, I don't know if anybody's been experiencing that, and I'm not one of these kind of people where, oh, my gosh, it's retrograde or whatever you call that, and it's affecting everybody. Well, it can, but I don't know. The energies lately, and I don't know, like I said, if it's the retrograde or the full moon, but it seems like it's pretty intense, and, it's just a lot of weird things going on. You never know, and I just felt, like I said, I don't want to make excuses for, you know, my behavior or how I'm feeling, but the emotions are, like I said, pretty intense and up and down and that kind of thing. So, but it's good to be back on Paranormal Horizons, and, I'm taking a break on Portal to Enlightenment, Your Journey of Body, Mind, and Spirit. The producers, Michael and Joel, are having some real health issues. I mean, major, major health issues. So they're putting all the network stations, including mine, on hold. So we may be out of commission for, maybe a month or two, or, you know, I don't know. It could be indefinitely, but I'm really excited to be back on Paranormal Horizons again. So, yeah, this is my home base, and it's always been a pleasure to be with you, Jason.
Absolutely, and we are, this show is also part of their network, but we operate independently, so this show will continue to be broadcasted. And so not much going on in my neck of the woods here. I really haven't been noticing any strange energies or weirdness out there, but I also don't open myself up to that. I did give a flu update last time on the last show. I said, boy, the flu is really slowing down. For those of you who don't know, I work in a hospital, and I'm pretty much the only one that tests for flu virtually. And I thought things were on the downslide with influenza out there. But I was wrong. The next week, it's out of control again. So I think I was being overly optimistic, and the flu is still very, 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 very much a thing.
Wow. I think that we all can, you know, we probably could be all exposed to that, but we can try and limit our exposure. But if anything, and this is just my suggestion as a Chinese medicine practitioner, that's my basis of everything I do, is to keep your immunities as high as possible. And that's number one, it starts with your attitude, but also being mindful for who you're at and where you're at. So, you know, if you can avoid it, and if you have a really strong immune system, you know, you can be in hospitals around six people, but you don't have to, you know, you may not have to get it. So, you know, the main thing is just being aware and keeping up your vibration, your attitude, and your health is as healthy as possible. So that's where the start of everything else. But I'm really excited tonight. We're going to have a guest come in, and his name is Clay Faulkner. And we also have somebody on hold, so whoever's on hold, just hang in there tight. As soon as we have Clay come through, we'll answer that call. But Clay Faulkner is up. He reads palms, and he is does I think geomancy and also runes. But tonight we have never had this subject. We're going to talk about runes. It's a divination tool. I don't know much about it, hardly anything. So this is going to be a very enlightening show for just you and I and our audience. Just have an open heart and an open mind, and we'll put Clay on.
I think runes are fascinating. I also don't know a lot about them. I think many, many years ago I had some, but I never got too deeply into it. So it'll be very interesting learning about that. So I'll go ahead and bring Clay on right now. Hey, Clay, how's it going?
Hey, real good. Thank you, Jason, for having me on again. And Sherry, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yes.
I was listening to your flu update, Jason, and I honestly don't know a lot of preventative things to do with that. But, like, my number one defense is just washing my hands. And that seems
to be the
number one thing. Yeah, because we
pick
things up with our hands, and then we rub our eyes or whatever, and then we end up getting the flu or colds or anything else. So kind of my number one piece of advice is just wash your hands, especially after you sneeze on. You got to wash your hands.
They say, you know, the medical people out there say that washing your hands is the best defense. I'm a little skeptical on that because I'll tell you what I did one time in a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
I swabbed my hands and then I cultured the swabs, you know, on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then so there was one without my hands washed. So I cultured that plate and then I washed my hands per direction, soap, 30 seconds, didn't touch anything, cultured that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was way worse after I washed my hands. I brought out the bacteria. I have no idea. It was really weird.
Jason, I think you used some dirty soap.
Maybe.
That's the only explanation, dirty soap. it's a pleasure for me to come on your show, and it's a pleasure for me to speak on runes. As you spoke earlier, I do the palmistry, and I've got more years of expertise in palmistry than I do in runes. But I started learning runes about 10 years ago, about the same time I started learning geomancy. And it's completely two different types of divination, the geomancy versus the runes. But the runes really were fascinating for me from the beginning. I seem to really take to them quickly, and maybe it has something to do with the fact that I had learned tarot first nearly 20 years ago. And I did see some similarities between tarot and the runes. And, in fact, I do sometimes use runes in conjunction with the tarot to see if I can get some kind of extra support or to complement a reading. And I just had one of those last Tuesday. I read for a woman that was having some difficulty financially. And she wanted to know if she should sell her house and some other things. And we did the tarot reading, and then I followed up with runes. And it's amazing how they really do just complement each other. So I think there is a common thread that runs between runes, tarot, and probably I would think any kind of divination. There seems to be this common thread that runs through them all. And so I just find that really interesting. Tarot, of course, uses the archetypes, and that seems to, like, draw or jar our intuition into being. And it really helps us to stay on track. I think of it kind of like training wheels on a bike. It keeps us on top and going in the right direction and understanding what the message is. And the runes is similar in that way too. Obviously there's if anyone's familiar with the runes, it's really just shapes that are etched into either like stone, wood, little clay tablets, bone, things like that. And most rune masters are real strict about the type of material the runes are etched upon. If it was plastic, that would really not be acceptable because it's man-made. So it really should be a natural material. So I do have several runes, and the one that I like the best is some runes that my wife gave me a while back that were made from willow. And willow was actually one of the traditional materials that was used many, many years ago. Our runes have been around since around 100 or 200 A.D. So they've been with us for, well, coming up on 1,000 years now. And I believe that the runes actually started off as a type of communication, and it was probably more for the priests in the different tribes. So most people didn't really understand what they meant, and that gave them a sense of mystique, in that there was only just a few people that really understood what the writings meant. And from there, it just kind of quickly turned into more of sacred symbols, and then from there, actual types of divination, which at that time was really important, because life during that time, especially in the Scandinavian countries where runes originated, life was very tenuous and difficult, and you weren't really sure if you were going to get through the winter to the next growing season and if your livestock was going to survive. So runes was actually a tool that was used quite often to help the people understand what they should do next if they are up against this question as to should they slaughter a certain amount of animals before winter hits, or should they not? Should they plant at this time? Should they not? So on and so forth. And so they used runes as a way to help guide them and direct them in what direction they should go in with their daily life and their survival. So it was super important in that way.
Aren't the symbols like Nordic symbols on the runes? Aren't they like from Norse mythology? I don't know. I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
I thought they were.
Absolutely. Okay. No, absolutely. They're from the northern European countries, Iceland included. And there's parts of Iceland that still use them as a part of daily life. And they were definitely originate from the northern European countries, Scandinavia. And the runic lore of the runes, rune lore, or how the mythology of runes really circles around Odin, which is a Nordic god. And the story goes that Odin came down from the top branches of Yggdrasil, which is the world tree in Nordic mythology, and he wanted to go down to the well of Urd, which is the base of the tree where the tree Yggdrasil springs from. And he knew that this water contained wisdom. If he were to drink this water, he would become more wise. Well, he had an issue with this, kind of a roadblock, because he had to confront Mermer, which was the god of this well. It was the guardian of this well, and he couldn't get past Mermer without asking permission to drink from this water. So he approached Mermer and says, "Well, how about you let me drink some of this water?" Mermer knew exactly that what the properties of this water was, that it would make the person wise, whoever drank it. And he says, "Well, what are you going to do for me? I mean, I'm going to let you have this water, but what do I get?" And Odin's like, "Well, what did you want?" And so Mermer says, "Well, give me one of your eyes. Give me one of your eyes and you can have some water." Well, without hesitation, Odin plucked out one of his eyes and handed it to Mermer. Well, clearly he had to keep up with his side of the bargain, and he allowed him to drink the water. And I suppose, and it's not clear from anything that I've read, but I suppose that when he drank the water, he came into a greater understanding because he became more wise. And for that reason, he pulled a branch down from Yggdrasil and fashioned a spear from it and stabbed himself with this spear and then proceeded to hang himself from the lower branches of the tree with his face just hovering above the spring of Urd, which is where the water was. And he hung there for 9 days. And the whole time he was in agony, his eye socket's bleeding, his side is bleeding from the spear, and he's just hanging there for 9 days. Eventually, the gods in the upper branches of the tree felt like he had suffered enough. And so they were like, okay, we'll allow you this final gift of understanding and wisdom. And as he looked into the bottom of the well, he saw the runes. And he had to stretch and reach and nearly drowned as he scooped up the runes from the bottom of the well. And, of course, that's the story in a nutshell. I think you could get into more detail with that, but that's basically what happened. And that's the origin of the runes and how they came about.
Wow.
And so now he shared them with mankind, and then, of course, then everyone started using them from that point forward. It's kind of a neat story,
and,
I think.
Not to interrupt anybody, but do we have somebody on hold, Jason?
We do. You want to see there?
Go ahead. I don't want to leave a person on hold. That's, yes.
All right. They may just be listening, but we'll see if maybe they have a question. Caller from Area Code. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Tasha. I was trying to see if y'all was doing me, but I was just listening to me if y'all not.
Do you can you do readings over the phone, Clay?
Well, I generally don't do readings over the phone, only because I feel like the person's energy needs to be with me at that time. I've had people ask me that in the past, and I could do readings over the phone, but I don't stand behind them because I don't feel like that separation using a phone is conducive for a true and accurate reading. Of course, I could do a kind of reading for like an example. But I always feel like even with the tarot or geomancy that the person's energy needs to be with me at the table to really get a good reading. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. I mean, yeah, I assume that sort of connection is what you want. But
right.
Thanks for calling in, caller, and I'll put you back on hold so you can continue listening.
Clay, is runes? It's a form of divination. Do you feel that it can this be to play where you have your subconscious having that energy towards whatever the cards are going to come out? Is it something? Do you think it's just something out of the blue that whatever falls is like reading tea leaves kind of thing, or can it be? Something that could be subconscious. Well, as I say, I want to say something, and this is just I'm just going to throw this out there. Am I going to have a baby next year, as an example, okay?
Right.
So is it going to be how it falls? Is it something that I want a baby and say it's going to be yes, or is it something that it just, it's like the universe is going to present whatever is going to come? How is that read?
Right. That wouldn't give you necessarily a yes or no answer. Actually, a tarot would probably be a better way to go to get a yes or no answer for that. And even geomancy would be a better way to go, kind of a yes or no or a definitive answer. Runes is great for giving that the energy is fertile for having a child. and it may not zero in exactly on an actual child, but that there is maybe the birth of an idea or birth of a new direction. But it wouldn't be able to give you a definitive answer in regards to if you were going to have a child next year. It could give you more of a positive kind of fertile ground for this is a very good possibility, but it wouldn't give you an actual real definitive answer for something like that. It just gives you that sense of fertile energy that something like that would be more likely to happen. Does that make more sense?
Is it like a past, present, and future type of reading?
There's a series of different kinds of layouts that you can do. The past, present, and future is one. The daily reading is just one rune that you could do. And I've used runes with the actual tarot type layouts, like the Celtic Cross, for instance, works really well for that as well. And that really is the kind of the reason why I've learned the different divinations that I've learned, because I'll have somebody ask me a question like, you know, will I have a baby next year, for instance? Well, then I can go, well, probably geomancy would be a better way if you want a yes or no answer for something like that. Whereas runes probably wouldn't be able to give you that kind of a definitive answer, but it could give you that the energy is more fertile for something like that to happen. And likewise with the tarot, maybe the question would suit the tarot better rather than geomancy or the runes. So that was really kind of my basis for learning the different types of divination, because it's not like a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. And the energy is different with geomancy than it is with the runes or with the tarot. I think that there is this similarity between tarot and the runes in that I feel like the answers that are derived using the runes or using the tarot are actually come from the universe. The universe has all the answers to every question you'd ever want. And so when you do a layout on a tabletop or on your cloth, you're really just creating a miniature universe, and it mirrors the actual universe that we live in. So when you're asking these questions, it is the answers are coming from the universe, and they're mirrored on your tabletop through the runes or through the tarot. And that's how I feel that the answers come about in that way. And, of course, your intuition is important in that. So it's really both things need to be in play, your intuition and also the universe playing its part in helping direct which rune goes in which position. The layout for the tarot, and I think it was Carl Jung once said, and this was really in regards to geomancy. How did the shapes with the geomancy even get formed? I mean, is it by chance, or how does that even work? And he said that the dots or the shapes that are formed are the only possible shapes or dots that could possibly happen at that precise time. And that was kind of a profound thing that for me to run across and for him to say. And I think that there is some truth in that as well with the runes and with the tarot, in that the cards that are after you shuffle and you cut the deck and so forth and you lay the cards out or the runes out, that whatever runes are laid down and put in whatever position they're put in is the only possible position that they could be in at that precise moment. And so there's a few things in play when you practice divination, and you can kind of see how that energy can come from different areas, and it's also your own intuition that needs to come into play. Some people have such a high degree of intuition, psychic ability, that they don't need to have these tools such as runes or tarot, that they mm-hmm. naturally can already tap into that. You know what I'm talking about, Sherry. And so for that reason, which I'm very envious of, but some of us need to have like what I call the training wheels to keep us on track and keep us on top of the bicycle and going in the right direction. And the training wheels for me are the runes or tarot and geomancy. And so those are the kind of things that I use in my own arsenal of divination to help me decipher whatever the answer is for whatever the question is. But I do pick and choose which one I feel is the best for whatever question is posed.
Now, for the listeners out there, say somebody's listening and they're like, hey, I want to check out runes, so they order some runes on Amazon. Are there any risks mm-hmm. associated with that sort of divination? I mean, one day they're buying the runes on Amazon, and next thing the Dark Lord's in their living room. I mean, is there any risk? Can they open a portal or anything like that?
I have had that question asked of me. I don't know that I've had it asked of me of the runes, but certainly of tarot and certainly of Ouija board, which I also use. And I think that really the best answer for that is it depends on the person's susceptibility to opening themselves up. I don't think that it's necessary for runes or tarot or Ouija boards or any of those things to be present for negative energy or a negative entity to enter in. I think it really has to do with the person's own strength and vitality and just their wholesomeness and whether they are weak and susceptible to having this kind of energy come through. I've been using divination for, well, nearly 20 years now, and I've never had any issues with entities coming through or any kind of things like that. I'm currently living in a house that has had a lot of paranormal activity, things moving, handprints on windows, things like that. And just a few weeks ago, we had a chandelier fall from the second floor. We have a stairwell that goes from the bottom floor to the top floor. And so it's probably a good 15 foot or more drop for the chandelier. And it was hanging there for probably about 10 years. And it was chain link type of a holding the way it was fastened. And it was a rather big and heavy chandelier, but it had been there for about 10 years. And recently we've been talking about selling our house. And so there's been a lot of conversation about selling it and what we need to do to sell it, what house are we going to buy next, things like this. And during the midst of this conversation, and I had just come down the stairs not more than a minute before and had to pass under the chandelier, And less, probably 30 seconds after I had passed through there, the chandelier fell and hit the stairs right where I would have been just 30 seconds earlier and broke into a million pieces and, of course, scared the heck out of every one of us, all of us. And I think that was probably a sign that there's displeasure in the thought of us moving and other people moving in. We probably had a couple of years where we had to deal with issues with things happening in the house, weird things. And of course we saved the house and so forth and it calmed down and it was actually a very peaceful house after that. And now we had to remodel part of the basement in order to sell the house. And then with all this talk about selling the house, and I think we may have kind of stirred things up again a little bit. And so I think the chandelier probably fell because it was whatever spirit was angry at the thought of us moving.
Yep.
So that's my own thought of that. But I don't think it has anything to do with me practicing divination. I think it had everything to do with just anger at us talking about moving from the house.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah, so
that would motivate me to move out of the house. We do have another caller. Are you open to take any questions?
Oh, sure.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hi, how are you guys? My name is Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Okay, Pennsylvania. Nice. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Thank you. I just had like a question about my love life, so that was it.
Okay. And if this regards or involves having a rune reading, I just had a caller just a few moments ago that was asking for a rune reading, and I don't really do the rune readings or tarot readings or any of those things over the phone because I think that your energy needs to be present in order for the readings to be accurate. I think that the separation using the phone is not conducive to having a true and accurate reading. And so I do have this question asked of me fairly often to do readings over the phone. And I always have to decline on that only because I think that I would do you a disservice and probably steer you possibly in the wrong direction only because I don't think that the energy connection is correct by using phone. I think that the person needs to be present for those kinds of readings to be accurate. Does that make sense?
Okay, that's fine. All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Clay, you're a fortune teller. No, I just seen you a bad time.
You would be surprised how many people ask about their love life. That's probably one of the biggest questions I have asked of me. And I have no problem doing those readings. And it's just that for me personally, and I know there's probably other readers out there that have no problem doing it over the phone or over the internet or whatever, but for me personally, I think it's important to have that energy right there with you because, for one thing, if it's like a tarot reading, the person that's having the question posed needs to actually shuffle the cards themselves and put their energy into the cards, and I think that that's important. I think that's part of the recipe with my own intuition, with the universe coming into play. I think it just completes the recipe for it to work in a more accurate kind of way. And so, I mean, I do get tempted sometimes to do these kind of readings over the phone. I mean, it would be a lot easier to do it that way. But I for my own integrity, I don't think that I would be doing a service for the person that I'm reading for because I think that energy needs to be present. So I usually politely decline to have those kind of readings done.
That's neat. That is very unusual, and I respect that, Clay. That's awesome. And
well,
also that you are setting your boundary. You don't feel like you have to read just because somebody calls in. It's not about that. It's where you're comfortable and what you feel is going to work. And sometimes it's just the way it is. You know, people sometimes, you know, they want it questions, and it's not something that can be done over the phone, you know, really. It just depends on who the reader is and how comfortable they are or how they feel can, you know, the information can be accurate or whatever. So there are different circumstances, and I'm glad you're honoring that. That is awesome. I mean, that is so cool.
Well, thank you, Sari. And I think that it's important to have that kind of integrity when you're doing readings for people because the questions they ask are serious and it's life impacting, and they would not be asking these questions if it wasn't something that laid heavy on their minds. And for me to do a reading and not and not know for sure that I was doing it to the best of my ability and to be as accurate as possible would really just be
a disservice.
It would be a disservice, and it would just lead that person astray, I'm afraid. And I don't want to be involved with possibly putting somebody on the wrong path, because I don't
I'm
think that
that
would be
as
accurate.
I'm
going to
say this. On radio as we go live here, Clay is a colleague of mine. I've known Clay for many, many years, and I have to say, this is just my personal experience, and I don't say this with a lot of people. I'm very discerning, and I'm kind of tough on as far as who I know that is really good in their craft. I do know that with my readings with Clay, he is right on the money. He is. I like his personality. He's very down to earth. He gets whatever comes through, whether it's palmistry or runes or geomancy, whichever comes through, he will tell you at the time. He's not going to, color anything or anything, but he's going to be very, very factual, but very loving, and just, you're going to have a good reading. So I personally vouch for Clay. He is awesome. And we have talked about doing something together, in a business sense, and that may come about. You never know, but I want to personally vouch for Clay. He is good with runes or palmistry. I have to say that.
Well, thank you, Sherry. And I just wanted to add this other note about using the tarot or runes or any other form of divination. It seems mostly just falls in the lap of tarot, in that there's a lot of tarot readers that will hold on to the coattails of Hollywood when they do their readings, and they will deliberately have dark, foreboding kind of readings, knowing that that is what people expect because of what Hollywood has done. And so they ride on the coattails of Hollywood, and they deliver what people are expecting. They're not there to help people. They're only there to sensationalize what has this really is just a perversion of what tarot really is. And I don't know exactly how that all came about, but I know that Hollywood perpetuates that. And I think that it's important to know that tarot or runes or any form of divination should be used to help people and to lift people up, to be used in a positive manner. I do get readings sometimes that are dark, and I always strive to look for the silver lining and not dwell on the aspect of the reading, but try and look for ways to make things better for that person, give them good advice, kind of steer them away from the worst of what I see coming, and try and get them in a position where they can prepare themselves for it, or try and avoid it to the best of their ability, instead of just, throwing it in their face that something terrible is going to happen. I've had people come to me and say they've had a reading, and someone told them that they were going to die in 5 years, and that for them that would mean they only have 2 more years of life, and so now they want to see if maybe something has gotten better for them. And I always tell them, do not listen to these people that are telling you that you're going to die, because that does not do you any kind of service. And the fact is that the time is fluid and not linear, and there are so many factors that enter in our lives that to be able to make that kind of prediction 5 years into the future is, that is a disservice too, because I don't believe that a forecast that far in the future can be accurate. It'd be like a weather forecast and the weatherman saying, well, in 5 years it's going to be 75 degrees and sunny. Well, you can't go that far out and expect it to be accurate. I generally don't go more than a year out for any kind of readings. And the closer you get to the reading, the more accurate it tends to be. If I did a reading for, say, next week, you could rest assured that's going to be more accurate than a reading 9 months from now. only because time is fluid and not linear. So I think it's important to you know, bear that in mind as well. So when you have a reading
and
done
I think
by somebody,
really,
just
and this
keep
is,
that in
you
mind.
Know, as a psychic and a medium, people hold you to it when you do a reading, don't they? You know, it's like if it comes out this way, if it doesn't, you know, the thing is that people don't realize that, like you said, time is in a continuum and it's fluid. But also, too,
mm-hmm.
you, a person who's being read has free will. And just because at that given time of the reading, this may possibly happen, but it may not happen at all. So, you know, these are just general
mm-hmm.
projections of what could happen, but you have choices. And I think that really when a person comes in for a reading, they have to take responsibility to their choices, decisions, and the outcomes that
mm-hmm.
that happen. It's
yeah, and bear in mind, too, that
to be married,
people are influenceable. Yeah, people are influenceable. And so you may actually be creating for them like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you tell them that you know, they're going to die next year, they may actually put themselves in hazardous situations or put their lives in jeopardy in a year's time, knowing that, well, I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well, you know, do this or try that. And so they end up putting themselves in a position where it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they certainly don't want to do that as well. And I think that's mostly why I try and look for ways to help this person avoid the problem or minimize the damage and prepare them for it rather than just tell them it's going to happen and, oh, well, I guess there's nothing you can do about it. I don't think that that's why we have divination. I think it was something that, whether it was brought to us by the gods or by our higher selves, or wherever it came from, I think it was really designed to help us and prepare us for the future. And that's really where the runes came from, was just a place of preparing the Nordic people many hundreds of years ago how to negotiate through the winters that were hard and harsh and to best understand when to harvest, when to plant, when to butcher their animals, just all kinds of things that really could be like life and death type of situations. And it was very helpful for them that they could negotiate through their life and avoid trouble just by using the runes.
I got a weird and wild question that popped into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Norse mythology goes back forever, the rune symbols and stuff like that. And some of the symbols have been perverted in history, mainly speaking the Nazis and, you know, the swastika and, you know,
right.
the rune Sig and all that. Do you ever encounter anything
mm-hmm.
like that? I mean, you know, the World War II and the Nazis kind of ruined a lot of things like that where you can't but wear a certain symbol. Because then you're suddenly a neo-Nazi, you know what I mean?
Right. And it's funny that the Nazis did use the swastika as a symbol of their power, when actually the swastika was something that was used by the ancient Egyptians, obviously thousands of years prior. So the symbols that we see, whether it's a swastika or the Christian cross or whatever symbol it might be, it really is just a symbol, and it's we as people that give it power. The swastika is really just a series of lines proportioned in a certain way and nothing more, but it's the power that we give to it that makes it evil or dangerous. And so, you know, it's like the dollar bill. The dollar bill is just ink and paper. It has to be charged with power by our own personal belief in it, that it's worth something. If we all stop believing that it was worth anything, then it would be worthless. And I think that kind of goes with the swastika. If we can all have that frame of mind that this is no longer going to have power over us, then it no longer will. But, of course, everyone has to get on the same page. And, yeah, I think that there are certain shapes that maybe would stir up some certain feelings that you would see in the rooms. But I think that you really need to just understand that the actual meaning behind these particular shapes do have more of a positive connotation attached to them, and not something that's evil or a dangerous type of a thing. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, I was just wondering. You know, I was in a motorcycle club that has, it's all Norse symbols and stuff. So you know, I've got tattoos with Norse symbols, and
right.
I don't know. I just wondered about that, just because I know some of those Norse symbols have good positive meanings, but they've been, you know, used by some evil people, and now anytime you see that symbol, suddenly you're an evil, terrible person.
Right. Yeah.
And the symbol goes way back.
Right, and it's been given that power that it will conjure up those kinds of feelings of fear and danger and you know, foreboding, and I think it really is just that the power that we give that shape or series of lines is something that we're responsible for. It really is just a shape in itself, and it's the power that we give to it that makes it powerful. And we just have to try and keep that in mind, bear that in mind. And I think that would maybe help minimize, you know, that kind of fear or anger toward these kinds of shapes that we've come to kind of associate with evil.
Yeah.
So
does that make sense?
Play, when somebody comes into you and they say, okay, you offer geomancy, you offer runes, and you offer palmistry and also tarot. So what, as a lay person who's just wanting to get a reading, how do they pick which one to do? And what are they going to do? How do they pick, or what kind of choices, or what can you say about that?
There's a lot of times that I'll do venues where, like I did a Christmas bazaar, believe it or not, last November, and I was asked to come for that, and I was a little hesitant because I thought, well, this is going to be just a weird fit. You know, they're going to see me doing tarot cards and stuff like that, and I'm thinking these are probably very Christian people that are going to be there, and I thought, well, I'm just really going to be wasting my time because I don't think that anyone's going to really take me seriously, or they're going to shy away and they're not going to want to be coming around. And it was funny at how many people actually did have readings during that weekend. And I think that they were able to maybe put aside their feelings of fear or whatever negative feelings they were having about that. And so, I mean, that was a testament to me that people are becoming more open-minded toward things. But in regards to what type of divination should they have, oftentimes people don't really have a question. And usually when that happens, I'll do the palm reading for them, which is actually doesn't fall under the umbrella of the occult, but is really just a human science. And I guess you could kind of associate it with handwriting analysis in a way. And so that doesn't require a question, because palmistry is just a way of helping a person understand their path and clarify where they're at right now and give them some future warnings about their health and other issues that would be coming up for them based on the direction their life is going in. But if they have an actual question, usually I get a lot of questions about relationships. And depending on the question or how the question is phrased will determine which kind of divination I think is best for that person. If they're looking for a quick answer, they just really basically want a kind of a yes or no sort of an answer, I tend to go with the geomancy, which is really pretty black and white on answering. The tarot is more colorized in that it gives a lot more information, more nuance. It's more textured, and you get just a wealth of information from using the tarot. And I've often said that if the tarot and the geomancy were to have a baby, it would be the runes, because the runes kind of fall in between the two. It does give a little extra information, like the tarot, but it also tends to be a little more direct as well, but just not as direct as geomancy. So it depends on really what kind of question they ask and what are they looking for, a yes or no answer. Or are they just looking for just kind of understanding what was the energy surrounding what happened in the past, or what's the energy surrounding what's coming for the future? And that would be something that I would direct them toward the tarot, only because it would give a lot more information. And then there's times when I'll actually use two types of divination, because then I can get even more information in regards to whatever the question is. And as usually I'll use the tarot and the runes together. And I'll like a Celtic cross, for instance. And then I will do the runes and place them directly on top of each tarot. And then that will give me additional information for each card in the tarot. And I can get even more information for that person for whatever the question might be. And oftentimes when I do that, I find that the runes will fall directly on the tarot cards that mean basically the same thing. I had a reading recently where a person with the tarot, I did the tarot first, and I said, well, they need to have patience for the future. Something was planted. They planted something metaphorically, and then they needed to have patience and allow this thing to grow. I says, you plant an apple seed, you can't expect to pick the apple the next day. You have to water it and care for it and just, you know, have some patience and let it grow. And that's how this reading was. And so immediately after this reading, and I left the cards in their place, I did a rune reading over the top, and the same thing happened with the rune that I used, the rune for patience, had fallen on the tarot card that was asking for patience. And so they lined up perfectly for this person. And I said, this is just really emphasizes your need for patience in this area, because not only did the tarot give us that information, but the runes did as well. So you just need to have patience on this and allow things to unfold. And know that it's coming, but you just are going to have to be patient for it.
Cool. Wow.
So that's how that works. And I just
have
a lot of
fun. Or geomancy or tarot or anything like that?
I'm sorry,
I've
what was the
several...
question, Sherry?
No, I was asking Jason.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I've had several tarot readings. I used to do tarot readings, not to the level that Clay has, just messing around with it. I think at some point I had some runes, but I don't, you know, I'm Captain Skeptical, which is, I used to be a lot more open in my youth, open into the occult and try out all that stuff. But I'm always a little bit skeptical about it all, because the tarot readings I've had, it's always these just like broad generalizations that could apply to anything or anyone. And I was just like, you know, that's... I was just skeptical of the whole thing. But I probably haven't had a good tarot reading, so that's probably why.
I was just going to say that, Jason. When you get someone who is very, just real ambiguous with the reading, and you could go, well, it could really apply to a lot of different things, and many years ago I had a rune reading from somebody, and I swear it was like the reading was like, look to the sky for the answer. You'll see it in the third cloud, and all this kind of real vague, spacey kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow. I was doing runes at the time when I did this. I just thought it would be fun to have someone else do my runes. And I thought to myself, holy mackerel, I just wasted a bunch of money on this person. They're telling me to look at the clouds. I said, if that's where the answers are, why am I coming here asking you? And I could be looking at the clouds for free. I don't need to pay you for this. And I just thought, wow, this is really nutty. And it confirmed for me, even at that time, that you really have to be specific and direct when you're doing readings, whether it's the tarot or whatever it is. And if you're not specific, if you're not direct, if you're just real vague about the whole thing, then like with you, Jason, you're going to get turned off and you're going to be skeptical and you're not going to believe in it and you're just going to stop doing it. And so that person really does a disservice for any other tarot reader, because I think that you need to be specific and direct. And you know what? If you're wrong, then, you know, sometimes we all throw up a brick, and that's just kind of how it works sometimes. But if you're not specific and helpful for this person, you're wasting their time and their money as well. So you really have to be on point and give actual real information on whatever the question is. And I've had a lot of questions where, there was one where a woman was asking if she should move back east to take a job. It was going to pay better. It was a better job, but she would have to leave her family here. And this was one where I used a geomancy because it was more of a kind of a yes or no answer that was needed. And so I did the geomancy, and it came up that she should not take the job, that it was going to fail, and she would be stuck back east, away from her family. And so, I told her that no, the job is going to fail, do not take it. And so that was the last I saw of her until the following year when she came back to the same venue. And she found me, and she goes, you know, I'm so thankful I took your advice, because I did not take the job, and I found out later that if I had taken the job, 2 months later, the company folded, and I would have been stuck back east with no job and no family. And so I've had a lot of these kinds of readings where I give this very specific, direct information, and I feel very strongly about it and confident about it, that this information is very accurate. And I've had a lot of people comment either at that time or later that the information that they got has really saved them a lot of grief and or maybe saved them financially as well. So I think it's important that you have to be specific and give some detail and not just be ambiguous with your readings, because it does that person no good, and it undermines the believability of anybody else that's doing readings. Because like with you, Jason, you pretty much are not going to have any readings again, probably. Or if you do, it's not going to be anytime soon. And you know, that might be hurtful toward you, because I'm sure you've probably got questions about things that you're not really sure how to obtain the answer. And maybe runes or geomancy or tarot might actually answer those questions for you. But that level of trust that you have has just dwindled to probably nothing now.
Yeah, I got questions just like the last caller from Pennsylvania. I want to know about my love life or lack thereof. I guess it'll have to be a mystery.
Jason, you're going to have to look me up at the Ghost Con. You're going to have to find me at Seaside.
Yeah, I don't know I'm going to make it out there. I think I'm going to do, I'll get your information from Sherry, and maybe we can hook up, and I'll by a reading.
There you go.
You're important.
You come out, and I'll give you. you know, if you come out, Jason, I'll give you a reading for free. How's that? Maybe that'll help rebuild some confidence. How's that sound?
Oh, well, I'll take you up on that. I'll get the information from Sherry.
Okay,
yeah, I'm hoping he's coming out for the Oregon Ghost Conference to represent Paranormal Horizons, because Paranormal Horizons, the other half is going to be there, which is me.
Right.
I'm going to
be on
the panel and doing a class, and I'm going to be vending, so,
It's so hard to drag me anywhere. It really
I know, I know, but you know what?
I think, Sherry,
go ahead,
you just need to twist his arm. You need to twist his arm. Twist his arm and go.
I know, I know. And if it doesn't happen or something doesn't happen, you know, Maria can take my place next Sunday. So, you know, it's all good. It's going to work out the way it's supposed to, no matter what.
Oh, that's good.
Here's, you know, I work in a hospital, and it is so physically and psychologically draining that when I have a day off, man, I'll be honest, I'm not motivated to do anything. I am wiped out.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I mean, just it's so crazy. It's never slow, you know. Yeah. But anyway, you know, there's all these.
Maybe you'll have to contact me, and we'll meet at a Starbucks or some other coffee shop or something like that.
There you go. We
in
can
town.
Definitely do that.
That'll make it easier. Yeah. You won't have to go too far. How's that sound?
No, before too long, I'm going to become agoraphobic and start getting dizzy every time I try and go outside. I'm freaking out.
Yeah, you'll say, well,
that's not
you
good.
Have to come to my house for readings. Yeah, let's hope you don't become agoraphobic. We need you at the hospital to help out. We need you today to test for flu, things like that.
Yeah, I do like my job. But I'll tell you what, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I would probably just work one or two days a week. Even though, you know, I like my job, but I'd prefer not to work. But that's probably everybody.
You just want it in small doses, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just small doses, 1 or 2 days a week.
That's perfect. That way I can get my social interactions in and, you know, maybe get a little medical insurance. And then other than that, I would just bury myself in my man cave.
Right. Well, you know, there was one other thing that I wanted to mention that I read about and hear about from other people, and it's the care and handling of your divination tools, whether it's tarot or runes or whatever it might be. And I really think that this is very subjective. I think it depends on the person, what you think is important, what resonates with you. Some people have a whole series of things they have to go through, blessing and charging, grounding, centering. They need to go through just a whole series of different kinds of things, rubbing the runes and salt, placing them out in the moonlight. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, that's an individual thing. If that's what they need to do to feel centered, to feel able to read, then certainly that's something they should do. And there's all different kinds of things that people do with their tarot or with their runes. And whatever floats your boat is what you need to do. But I don't think that you can read or hear about what somebody else does and then just arbitrarily do that yourself, because maybe that's not necessary. I think that you need to find your own path and what works for you. Myself, personally, with my tarot cards, geomancy, or with the runes, I do put them in a bag, so I do take care of them in that way. Maybe similar to how some people take care of their screwdrivers or their hammers or something like that. I don't just leave them laying around. I clean them. I put them away. But I don't go through the whole rubbing them with salt and leaving them out in the moonlight and doing all these different kinds of things. Not that that's bad. You should do whatever is good for you. But I think that if you take up the runes or you take up tarot or any kind of divination tool you need to follow your own intuition and what feels right for you, and not feel like if somebody else is going through all these different steps that you necessarily have to go through those steps as well. Because I've had a great deal of success with my tools, and I basically just put them in a bag, put a rubber band around it, and put it in the drawer. And then when I'm ready for it, I pull it out and I use it. I don't run it through incense. I don't sprinkle salt on it or say special incantations over it, anything like that, because I think the magic comes from you. It comes from within you. You're part of the universe. The universe is part of you. We are all interconnected. And for me personally, I don't need to go through all these kinds of divination type gymnastics in order to get really great results with the tools that I have, but you need to follow what's right for you.
I love that divination gymnastics. I love the term.
Yeah.
I heard that, but it's so true. I mean, it's like, yeah, you get all people and they, you know, in the woo-woo world, you know, you got to go through this phaging and they got to do this, and you know, I like to keep it simple. Yeah, I like to go and just do a quick prayer or just make it real simple. But, you know, the thing is I do it more for the client. I do it mainly for the client to know that, you know, they are protected and this and that. But I know. I don't have to believe in it. You know, in my cases, I've done so many readings and therapies and everything else that, you know, I just know. But I do it mainly for the client to let them know that I'm aware of it and included in the process. Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
And I do want to reiterate that if that is something that you need to do to feel grounded and centered and complete in doing a reading, then certainly do that. I'm not discouraging anybody from going, you know, to those extremes, but I don't want anyone who's beginning to use any tools like the runes or tarot to feel like they have to go through all these different steps. But if they just respect their tools and put them away and not abuse them, then for me personally, my own use, I've had wonderful results with all the tools that I use. I treat them all with the same level of respect, but I don't put them on a pedestal either, because I think the magic actually comes from within you, and that the tools that we use are really just, for me anyway, is more of just like training wheels on a bicycle. It just helps me to stay upright and go in the right direction. But the magic actually comes from within me, within my own mind, and being interconnected with the universe.
Well, very
Absolutely.
Cool. I'm looking at the clock here, and time has just flown by. So, Clay, how can people get a hold of you if they want to get a reading from you?
I have a website. They can get a hold of or contact my website. It's cftellings, T-E-L-L-I-N-G-S. If they go to that that website, cftellings, they can get all the information they need to contact me with email, and I'll be happy to meet up with anybody who would like to have an honest, wholesome, positive, accurate reading at a very minimal cost. I don't charge a lot, and partially why I do charge is so people will take me seriously. I feel like if I didn't charge anything at all, that people would not take my reading seriously. So that's actually part of the reason why I even charge in the beginning. But if you can contact me at CF Tellings, that will direct you to where you need to go to get a hold of me through email, and that would be the best way to do it.
Well, very cool. Well, Clay, I will get with Sherry and I'll be in contact with you. But I want to thank you so much for taking the time again, coming back on the show and teaching us about runes. It's very interesting.
Well, thank you, Jason. It was a pleasure to speak with you and to be on your show. And it was a pleasure to speak with you again, Sherry, and I hope for both of you and all who are listening the very best.
Thank you, Clay. Very good. Thank you. Wow.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks, Clay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh.
That was good topic. Wow. I just I like learning about different things, you know. I know a little, just a little bit. I've seen what those are runes, but that's about it. But just to get in a little bit of history, why you use them, why, those little things, just to go and share some knowledge and learn about it. It's really exciting. I'm really happy to get something out of that.
I'm actually thinking about purchasing some runes. I was thinking about that during the show, but before I do that, I'm going to consult with Clay and get some decent ones, and I'm willing to give it a shot and see if it works for me.
Wow.
So you're going to be at the Ghost Conference next Sunday. Is that right?
We'll be there for 3 days. So, yes, anybody wants to come in, get a reading, Psychic Medium Sherry, I will be one of the vendors, and I will be teaching a class about medical Qigong therapy. So people who don't understand what medical Qigong, that's my basis of everything I do, even though I am a psychic medium, but I am a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner, and that's medical Qigong, which is the fourth branch. So we're going to teach you a little bit of a class about Chinese medicine, and I'll be there for 3 days, and I'm going to be rubbing shoulders with guests that we have, Ross Allison, David Weatherly. They're all going to be there, a few others. So I'm going to be saying hello and mingling with them in between my readings. And sorry, guys, but temporarily, Portals to Enlightenment, Your Journey of Body, Mind, and Spirit, and Paranormal Horizons, that is on Spotify and Alexa and iTunes and Cashbox and Spreaker is temporarily on hold. We want to wish Joel and Michael the very best. We love them dearly and hope that they get a speedy recovery and that our networks will be continuing. So, but if not, Paranormal Horizons will continue, and we are already celebrating over 5 years. And, Jason, I've been with you for, 3.5 years. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 246 or 47 episodes, which is fantastic.
Wow.
Still running strong.
And our Facebook page is booming. We have, we have a lot of memes and jokes and just a lot of humor and just things that just brighten up our day and just to laugh because, we take things sometimes so seriously and we can want to really be, upset and crying and everything. But if we could put a smile on your face by putting a joke or two or some memes on Facebook on Paranormal Horizons page, we did our job to add a little bit of joy even if that's at that moment in your life. So, yes, continue to support us and look at the jokes, and it's just great. I just really I'm really happy to be part of Paranormal Horizons.
Absolutely, yeah, the Facebook page is absolutely banging, even if you're not into the paranormal and just want to look at funny memes, then, yeah, give us a like on Facebook. And in terms of the show next week, we've been doing some talk the past couple of weeks about doing an expose on me, the crazy and wild life of Jason Ophir, and it is interesting, and it is pretty crazy and wild, so I'm thinking maybe next week we likely will have the show, and it may just be that. I'll tell you my life story, and it is interesting. If it wasn't so interesting, strange, and weird, I wouldn't do it because it would be boring, but it's pretty interesting. So I'm thinking that's going to happen in the very near future, potentially next Sunday.
That's great. I'm going to miss you. And Maria's going to take my place, so as I conduct Paranormal Horizons, the Psychic Medium Sherry, Maria Wilson Duff, our newest co-host into our team, will be substituting for me. So I will be back. I'm not sure if I'll be back in the next month. The first Sunday of April. Boy, it's coming by really fast. I think we're going to have Jason Keeling, and I would love to have him back. So we had some technical difficulties this last month. So I just talked to him today, and he is really excited to come. To be on Skype, and we're going to be having him all the way from England. I don't know where, but he's from England, and he's a spiritualist, so he does psychic and mediumship and Reiki and that kind of thing. So a very beautiful soul, and I'm looking forward to having him.
Very exciting. Well, with that, we'll wish everybody a good, happy Monday. Hope everything goes well for everybody next week. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And with that, we'll bid everybody adieu. Good night, everyone.
Take care, everybody. Have any questions, get a hold of us. Take care. Peace.